Welcome to Language Chats. This is a podcast for language lovers in Australia and beyond, where we share our experiences of language learning with you, as well as the stories of other Australians and a few international guests who love learning, working with, and communicating using other languages. I'm Beck.
And I'm Penny, and we'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land of which we're recording today, the Wadawurrung people and the Wurundjeri people, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. Beck, episode 101.
I know. It feels like we should be calling this like Language Chats 101 or something, like it's some kind of special workshop for listeners, but it is not.
I like the thinking.
Now, we've had a little bit of a break since our 100th episode, very big milestone for us here on Language Chats. It's just been, well, we usually release this fortnightly, but it's been about a little bit over a month since we released our 100th episode, which is partly because, Penny, you have been away traveling.
I've been gallivanting around Southeast Asia. I have, Beck. I have, and it's been so much fun.
I know, and I'm very jealous. But actually, that is partly going to be the topic of our episode today, because you weren't just gallivanting around Southeast Asia. It did have a little bit more purpose to it, didn't it, Penny?
It did. Well, some of you might know that I have recently started a new business, a travel business called Pip & Co. Travel, and it all feeds and stems on my love of language travel, which some of you might know. We talked about it in the podcast a few years ago now, Beck, about how I always love to do language learning trips abroad, combining language learning with a holiday. And I thought, why not branch out and bring together that passion of mine of language travel with the broader kind of cultural travel experiences to my favorite parts of the world, which is Asia and Southeast Asia in particular. So yes, I'm very excited. It was a research trip, and it all went really well.
Yay. We love a reconnaissance mission. Also, as somebody who loves language, loves travel, to be honest, this sounds like my kind of holiday planning as well.
Yes.
So I am thrilled for you. Now, Penny did mention just before that we did have an episode a while back now, back in episode 16, if I am not mistaken, where we did talk a little bit about language travel then. So we're going to be touching on a few of those things as well today. But if you are interested in going back to that episode to see some of the things that we originally had to say about language travel, then you can go back and listen to episode 16.
Yay!
Yes, so good. So firstly, just to get started, before we jump too deep into the details, Pen, language travel, you have quite a long history with language travel, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I think it kind of started by accident, really, like most good things do. When I was living abroad as a teenager, I was living in Vietnam while my parents were working there. I just had to find something to do. And of course, it was learning the language. And so I enrolled in Vietnamese classes. And that led to, you know, formal further studies at uni in languages. And then, of course, graduation, I was like, oh, I just need to get back overseas to do some more language study. And that led me to create my own kind of program back in Vietnam, where I was learning the language, also working while I was there as well, and, of course, doing a bit of travel as well. And then it kind of, you know, went from there. So I that was the Vietnamese side of it, but I've also done Chinese as well, so in China itself, but also in Taiwan. And all of those experiences have just been so amazing and all really different too. So from like a formal kind of university setting to when I've arranged my own private one-on-one classes just for a short period, say for, you know, 7 or 10 days. So that really is where that kind of vacation language travel experience comes in, because when I was in Shanghai, it was a few years ago now. I remember I was pregnant and I was very tired. But I would do, you know, two classes one-on-one 2 hours of classes one-on-one in the morning, and then I'd have time to kind of cruise around the city and do some practice in the afternoon. And I really like that kind of balance, and that's what I kind of try and do with my other language trips that I have done since then as well.
Yes, amazing. And I think probably something that is important to note as well is how different this is to just traveling. So, like, because from what you've, even from what some of the things that you've said already, there's something much more intentional about, you know, organizing a class, for example, or organizing a course, or maybe even if it's not something quite as formal as that, but having the intention that you know that you are going to travel, and that while you are there, you are definitely going to learn actively. This is quite different to probably when some people kind of are like, I'm going traveling and I'll pick up some of the language while I'm there. Probably not quite as simple as that.
I think you're right. It all comes down to that kind of primary purpose, the primary motivation for wanting to do the trip in the first place. And there are lots of ways to incorporate language into your travels. You don't have to go as hardcore as that. It can be as simple as, you know, learning some of the keywords and phrases and trying to use those every day while you're traveling. And I think that is, you know, underappreciated by some travelers sometimes, but can certainly go a long way to making your experience more meaningful and really allowing you to have that kind of deeper connection with people that you meet while you're traveling, which is what I'm all about. That's, I guess, where I've found language learning and language travel has led me, is that having that ability to communicate in a sometimes basic way, sometimes, you know, at a, you know, a decent conversational level, just gives you access to a whole different experience while you're traveling. And I think that's what has really kind of, I don't know, given me this burst of, you know, love of cultural travel and wanting to share that with other people, even if their primary purpose is not to learn the language, which for a lot of people it's not, to look at other ways that you can incorporate those kind of really meaningful cultural experiences when you travel, so that you can have that really cool, unique, overused word, but really true, unique experience while you're in the destination.
Yeah, amazing. Can I ask, actually, just interesting, because I feel like you've done this so many times and done it to such success, when you have traveled and, you know, been able to do so many kind of active learning things, whether it is about language or about culture. How do you find it hard sometimes to get people at your destination to engage with you on those, you know, I'm just thinking especially of language opportunities. You know, we've talked about this before, and I'm sure many people out there listening will have experienced the sometimes frustration of where you do go somewhere where you have been learning their language and you try your best, you try your darndest to get people to speak with you, but you know, it's not always that simple, as people often want to try and make it as easy as possible for you by speaking in the language that you clearly speak, often English, especially for Australians.
Yep. You're right, Beck, and it can be challenging. I was actually really surprised on this most recent trip. So I went to Vietnam, to Cambodia, and to Laos, and I speak some Vietnamese, but I don't speak any Khmer or Lao. But my time in Vietnam was just amazing because I didn't put any kind of pre-preparation into my language before I went. But you know what it's like when you've got that kind of foundation, it does come back. And I was just so overwhelmed by how everyone just kind of rolled with it, and they just spoke to me like, and that, I don't think that used to happen. I think things have evolved. People realize that people from other countries learn other languages, and you can be open to accents and mistakes and embrace someone speaking, a foreigner speaking your language. I just felt it was just really nice, and I really, really loved it. Even simple things like when we're in Cambodia and Laos, there would be a lot of greetings in language. So when you came across people or you were in a shop or a cafe, and I thought that was really nice that it wasn't hello, it was somebody, you know. And so I think if you are open to beginning those exchanges, even if that's all you can say, hello and thank you and goodbye, you will still have that opportunity most places you go. And of course, if you can take it beyond that as well, I think people are just, you know, generally so open. And I think a little bit of persistence never goes astray, and a little bit of Dutch courage as well.
Yes, always. That's right. You do kind of have to just, I think, persist. But really cool to hear that. And I think that openness as well that you talk about, like showing that you are open to trying, you know, with even just those few words to get you started to begin with, is something that is really positive. And, you know, I think even in the reverse way, like we often experience the same things when you know that you're speaking with somebody who, you know, may not have English as their first language. You know, we are English native speakers, but if you can tell that somebody may not, but that they're trying, you do everything that you can to try and help them, to understand and to comprehend whatever it is that they're trying to say, even if they may be struggling. So I guess other people will do the same thing for you if you are a learner and you're doing your best.
Totally. The other thing that was really interesting too about being in Cambodia and Laos was their gestures that go with greetings that we're not always used to doing. Even in a place in Vietnam, there's no putting your hands together in the palms in the front of your chest. And I found doing that was just a really nice, so when you say hello, sauste or sabadi, and doing that was just, I don't know, it just had like a, I don't know, what's the word, like a meaning or a, like a, what's the word I'm trying to think of, Beck? Like a,
it's like a, I think it's an, like an acknowledgement. It's a little bit of a like cultural understanding, right? Like you're obviously trying to take part in a gesture that is
commonplace.
That is commonplace for them.
Yeah.
And so you're showing an openness again to be a part of that, that sort of routine or that gestural motion.
Yeah. Like bowing. I mean, bowing comes a little bit more naturally because it's something that maybe being exposed to North Asian languages. But yeah, the hands together was just really lovely. I thought it was a really nice way to say hello and say thank you and express a nice, you know, connection as well.
Wonderful. So was there anything in this trip, again, a bit of a reconnaissance mission, because I know you're planning some big things later this year. We'll come back to that. Was there anything, as somebody who has travelled fairly extensively in Southeast Asia, was there anything that really surprised you on this trip, either about culturally, linguistically, things that have changed since the last time you were travelling?
It was really fantastic, even though it was a whirlwind to put three countries into the 2 weeks. I'd never been to Laos before, never been to Laos before. And it was amazing. It felt very different to Vietnam and to Cambodia. And I think that's really nice to have countries that share so much in terms of history and borders, geography, the Mekong River, but they're so distinct in, you know, in language and in dress and mannerisms and food, and that was really interesting and eye-opening for me. So even things like, you know, we did a cooking class in Luang Prabang in Laos, and so learning a little bit more about cuisine, which has a lot of influence from Thai cuisine, but also has its own kind of distinct Laotian flavours, and that was really cool. The other thing which was really interesting, and I'd love to learn more about this as well, is the traditional people, the minority people of the three countries, particularly of Laos and of Northern Vietnam. There are so many crossovers because there's many minorities which are, you know, living in these countries, but of course they're part of their own culture as a one culture anyway, even though there's, you know, divided by geographic boundaries. And that was really interesting because I think in Laos, I think it's like between 20 and 30% of the Laotian population is actually ethnic minority. And that's, you know, that has all kinds of really interesting things for textiles and arts and language and dress and culture and music. And that's something that would be really cool to explore further.
Yeah. How good. So tell us a little bit more about what this is all leading to, Penny.
Well, leading to some tours, to some trips to take people across to my favorite part of the world and to have some really cool cultural experiences while we're there. So there is a 10-day trip for adults to Vietnam, followed by an 8-day trip to Cambodia, and then a 6-day trip to Laos. So some people have chosen to put all three together and have a nice, you know, 3-week vacation. But of course, you know, you could come and just do one section of the countries and just pick out Cambodia, for example, and come along and experience what it's like over there. And my whole thing is really about, I guess, showcasing the countries in a different way to some other companies that they might do in their own way, is a really the focus on cultural experiences. So it's a really large umbrella, which I kind of like because it does allow lots of really cool things to fit under it, underneath the umbrella term, language for one, but also, you know, food and history and dance and music and textiles. And really there's lots of other things too, which can come under that cultural banner, which is really exciting. I think one of the things I'm really excited about too is the kind of the amount of local interaction that we're going to be able to have as part of the trips. So things like meeting a traditional noodle maker in central Vietnam and having lunch with them and learning how to make noodles. And likewise in the Mekong Delta in Vietnam too, meeting a local farming family and really just kind of learning what life's like on the Mekong, which is a huge food production source for the region. And there's just some really nice, you know, times. I think the people-to-people connections is really what you remember. And I think that's what makes a lot of people's trips, and that's also going to be a focus of our trips this year as well.
Amazing. It sounds so fun. Also, you had me at noodles. Noodles are basically my favorite food. And I say noodles, by noodles, I mean noodles in all of their forms, including pasta.
Yes, I know. Soups.
I know. Soups. I was like, ooh, handmade noodles. Like, I'm so there.
I know.
That sounds super, super fun. And for the language lovers out there, so you have mentioned that language is certainly a part of this kind of broader umbrella of what you're hoping to showcase and you know, guide people through on these trips. But, you know, what kind of language experience can, you know, the people going on your trips hope to experience and understand?
I think one of the benefits is that there'll be a local guide traveling with us in each of the countries, and they've been worded up that there's going to be a little focus on language learning while we are traveling. So the benefit of that really is to have someone who is with you who can explain the kind of the cultural nuances, the pronunciation, and help you really kind of get some of those small things down pat in a very safe and comfortable environment. I think that's really nice. And I think having a guide with us for the entire trip, you know, one in each country so that they are language and country specific, will be really great. And of course, having the people-to-people connections and meetings that we are going to have along the way, they're the really great chances to actually put some of that language into practice that we've able to learn, again, in a really nice kind of safe environment, and that, you know, ability to bring humor but also warmth to the situation, I think, is really nice. And I think, you know, I've always been about that, Beck, about how language is like the way to make your travels better, and I don't think I'm ever going to deviate from that. You know me too well.
I know. I feel like we are big cheerleaders for this. I have to say, though, just to hop back a moment, I was thinking as you were talking about the tour guide being with you, I love that consistency. I think that's great that you'll have the same person, you know, the same tour guide in each place, for kind of the duration of your period in the country. But I'm also just picturing them trying to explain sounds and pronunciation of things, and then I'm seeing you, like, you know, in front of everybody doing your so actually I feel like I should provide some context. When Penny and I have spoken about Vietnamese tones before, which are tricky, mm-hmm. even in the language world, Vietnamese tones are notoriously tricky, and every time we've spoken about it, I feel like you become this, like, tone conductor in front of me.
I know.
I feel like you guys can't see this, but if you can imagine Penny's, like, hands in the air, like telling you whether or not to pronounce something up or down, or sort of up down, that's what I'm expecting you to be like when you're trying to explain tones to people on these trips.
Like, yeah, I think conducting is a really great way to put it, because you've got to learn somehow, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of all in motion. No, how good, Penny. It sounds like a really exciting time for you, actually. Some super yes. exciting stuff ahead, some great plans, and even better that you get to share all of this with other people who are also enthusiastic about culture and language.
I should also mention too, Beck, is that my other passion and love, of course, is family travel, and helping our kids and families also have the best kind of cultural immersion experiences, particularly in Asia. So I'm also running a family trip to Vietnam in January. So I'm really looking forward to that, because I just think it'll be great to Well, we've put together a really great family-friendly itinerary. So a lot of the cool stuff the adults get to do, but just a little less packed and a little bit more downtime and some nice early meals. So all the important things for traveling with kids.
Ah, there's something for everyone.
I know.
Fantastic. Well, well done, Penny. Love hearing and seeing, of course, as well, some of the photos and videos that you have been sharing online via your social media channels, about your trip and all of the things that you did see while you were there.
Yay!
I very much look forward to seeing how it all goes later on this year.
Oh, thanks, Beck. Thank you. Hey, Beck, I want to ask you a question too.
Yeah.
If you could go anywhere in Asia, so, like, a nice, big, decent continent to choose from, to learn some language and have, like, a really cool cultural experience, is there somewhere mm-hmm. that pops to mind that you would jump at?
Does it have to be somewhere new or somewhere I could go back to?
No.
Maybe I'd do both.
Okay, do both. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. There's so many options.
It's a really tricky question. Put you on the spot.
I'd really love to go to Korea. I've never been to Korea. Not yet. And I think I've heard lots of great things. From Australia, it's not that far to get there. Really, I mean, again, in Australian terms, I know it's all relative, but for us, like, one flight is, like, pretty close. So I would love to go to Korea. I think that from everything that I've heard culturally, it sounds like a really interesting place to go to. Linguistically, Korean to me is really interesting for lots and lots of reasons. I think the script is interesting. I think it sounds cool. I've actually enjoyed quite a lot of Korean film in the last couple of years, and that has kind of gotten me a little bit inspired. I'm not really into like K-pop and K-dramas. I know lots of people are. That hasn't really been my inspiration. But I do think, I do think that Korea would be a really cool place to go and, yes, potentially have a bit of a both linguistic and cultural experience. Like, you know, if somebody just said you can take some time off and go tomorrow, that I think would be really fun. But it's hard to say. I actually haven't traveled very extensively in Asia at all. So really I feel like the whole continent is kind of open,
ready.
I know. And I'm like, one day we'll make it to lots of places. But yeah, there's just so much potential.
We'll have to go to Vietnam together one time.
Oh my God, yes. How fun would that be?
So much fun.
We could do a language chat on location.
I know.
That would be fun. Well, Penny, something else that is important for anybody who is listening and may want to learn more about your trips that are coming up, more about what you're doing with your new travel business, where can they find that out?
The best place to go would be the website, pipandcotravel.com. Otherwise, you can find me at Insta and Facebook at pipandcotravel.
Ah, too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us for another episode of Language Chats. We've loved having you with us as always. We're really excited because we've got a few really fun and interesting chats coming up over the next couple of months, I'd say. We've been busy bees getting some very fun interviews in our diaries. So keep an eye out for those as you're listening and looking through whatever your podcast platform of choice is for recent uploads. But they are on their way. So keep an eye out. In the meantime, please feel free to join our community on Facebook, the Language Lovers AU community. You'll find us there. It's a group. You can also find us on Instagram at languagelovers.au or, of course, any other info on our website, languagelovers.com.au.
And thank you again for listening. And if you know someone else that might also love to tune in to this episode of Language Chats, please feel free to share the episode with them. And if you get a second, we love hearing from you. So please feel free to leave us a rating and review. And we will catch you again in a fortnight.
See you next time.
Thank you.